Now I read your father had been an artist.
My dad had art ability as a child on the Lower East Side of New York, and his teacher encouraged him. He had walked with him after class and said, "You have a lot of talent, you should go to art school." So he did. He went to art school, but in those days they wanted to give the kids a profession, not just learn how to do fine art painting. So they taught him sign painting. And he got a job.
Jack Kirby did that.
Really?
He painted signs.
Oh, I didn't know that.
To try to make some money.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So my father, may rest in peace, got a job with the Curtis Candy Company. There was a new candy bar coming out called Baby Ruth, after Babe Ruth. And he worked with a crew, two or three guys. They would go to grocery stores, and they would offer them a free dozen of candy bars if they would let them put a sign on the window, Baby Ruth candy bars. So they painted, you know, these attractive signs on the windows, and they did that all over Chicago and different places. So that was his work at the beginning. Then he missed his family very much. My dad, may rest in peace, had a brother and six sisters back in Detroit. So he came back after, I don't know how long, came back to Detroit and got the job for Werner's Ginger Ale.
Was your dad born in the U.S.?
My dad was born in Russia and came over when he was 4 years old.
What part?
Lower East Side of New York. Yes, it was called a little town called Rzeszcz, or Rzeszka. I don't even know how to write it. But his relatives had a tea house. This is my grandfather's brother, my dad's father, came to the Lower East Side of New York and started Dorf's Russian Tea House. And it was a place where immigrants would go and commiserate with each other because their families were back in Europe. They were earning the money to bring them over. And although my dad's brother spelled the name D-O-R-F-F, so we have East Coast Dorfs with two Fs. And then they moved from Hester Street to Eldred Street, and they were very popular, you know, on the Lower East Side. And then my grandfather's brother went into the dry goods business, and he sold the tea house to my grandparents, and they ran it. But unfortunately, it's a terrible story. The dry goods business folded, and they didn't make it at all. So I guess the mother said, "You know, you don't have anything in writing. Take the tea house back." So they came in and they took the tea house back to my grandparents. They basically tossed them out, and it was a rift that was in the family for 50 years. They never talked to the New York branch after that happened. And they came to Detroit. So my grandfather, they heard that Henry Ford was paying $5 a day to work in the auto factories. So they came to work in the auto factory. But my grandfather was too old. So the kids got other jobs, and they brought money to the family. They took care of the parents. And my dad was raised in Detroit. I mean, he was in New York through art school. Then he came to Detroit, and they went to Chicago to Baby Ruth, and he came back. And he did the Werner's gnomes. They have little gnomes next to the ginger ale. So he painted gnomes on the wall, on the glass. And then the Depression came along. And, oh, he started his own advertising agency also. And he became an independent contractor for Werner's and other people. And then the Depression came along, and nobody wanted artwork. So he closed up, and he got a job selling candy as a route man to drugstores. He worked for a wholesaler, and he went out, and he had, I don't know what kind of candies, but I guess candy is depression proof. It's a very solid, you know, industry, even with the Depression. So he had this candy route, and at one point, he sold a $5,000 order to the Boy Scouts of America. And his boss would not pay him the 10% commission. He absolutely refused. So my dad said, okay. He stopped working for him, and he started his own candy company with the two best-selling items on the candy route. Whorehound candy, which is for coughs and colds. It's made from an herb from Greece, and it was brought to America around George Washington's time as a cough drop. And old-timers know about it. It's Whorehound candy and anise, which is a licorice. And they're good. It's good for coughs and colds. So those are the two best-selling items. So he found a local candy maker in Detroit who rented him space, and taught him how to do it. And he made candy with a fellow. And he'd bring sacks of candy home to my mom at night. And she would have my brother on one lap and packing candy on the other. In a cellophane bag with a label, Dorf's Anna's Candy, and staple it and put a dozen bags in a bag. And he went around with, you know, and he sold it. And then after the drugstore route, he got a supermarket route. There were over 100 stores. So he made the candy, my mother made these, and after the drugstores, there's a chain of supermarkets, 150 supermarkets, and they decided to carry his product. So he knew that if it was just on a shelf, it would look like everything else. So he designed his own display rack with the glass in the center, and at those times, you didn't have to pay to get a prime spot in the supermarket. He convinced the managers of each store to let him put the rack at the end of the aisle. And there was a big silkscreen sign, Dorf's, Anna's, and Whorehound. And he had one side with Anna's, one side with Whorehound stacked up. And the business really expanded. And he hired a salesman or two, but they always goofed off. They would stack the candy, it would fall off, and the managers would get upset and order the rack taken out of the store. So he decided to become his own candy route salesman as well. So he rented a shop at first, then he bought his own building, and he had the crew make the candy, but he went out with a helper on the drugstore and supermarket route. And he did that for 35 years. 35 years. So there were jokes that the Whorehound, you know, he said, one of the druggists told him, a kid came into the store, he said, "My dad wants to buy some of that dog candy." Standard joke.
How old was your dad when he came over?
He was 4 years old.
Four.
Four.
Wait,
yeah.
So he came with his parents?
He came with his parents. And they had an apartment on the Lower East Side, and I found it. I traced the family tree, and I knew the address, 210 East 10th Street. And it was a walk up. They lived in a fourth story walk up. And my dad, although she'll remember, is yelling up to his mother, and she would throw him down a penny. So he could get something, you know, candy. And they were, you know, it was right the heart of the East Side from 1908. I think they moved to Detroit around 15. So that would have been, 1919. Pardon?
How old was your pop when you lost him?
He was 77.
Why did they pick Detroit versus any other place, Philadelphia?
Because Henry Ford was paying $5 a day for workers who would work in the auto plants. It was just unheard of to earn $5 a day in those times. So, and plus they had a relative who lived there as well. Mm-hmm. So they came to Detroit, and then of course my grandfather was too old, but his kids got other jobs, and Detroit was a thriving economy with Henry Ford. So they did very, you know, I mean, they did okay. I mean, they were just working people. But colorful story.